Good morning. This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning. I want to thank the elders of this church and the whole congregation for welcoming us here. Yesterday, it was exactly 1 year since we stepped foot into the U.S. So, and we have felt really, at home. We felt loved and welcomed, and this is home for us. And that's why when Elder Clay asked, how should I introduce you? He said, well, we are members of this church. So myself, Aaliyah, and the kids, Emrael and Eliel, we are so grateful, and even thanks for this opportunity to share the word of God and to just share what God has for us in his word regarding how we should live as Christians in the body of Christ. Let's pray as we look into the word of God. Lord, we just submit our hearts unto you and ask for wisdom, and we ask that you will open our minds to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Several years ago, two students graduated from the Chicago Kent College of Law. The highest ranking student in the class was a blind man named Overton. And when he received his honor, he insisted that half the credit should go to his friend, Kasper Isaac. They had met one another in school when the armless Mr. Kasprzak had guided the blind Mr. Overton down a flight of stairs. This acquaintance ripened into friendship and a beautiful example of interdependence. The blind man carried the books which the armless man read aloud in their common study. And thus, the individual deficiencies of each one of them was compensated by the other person's strengths. After their graduation, they planned to practice law together. Just shows you the power of interdependence, the power of being together, the power of using our gifts to grow each other. And in the past weeks, we have been talking about leadership, how the Lord calls leaders and judges to lead his children and to imbibe that godliness that steers the direction of a group. And I just thought that if we have been talking about leadership, it's good that we also discuss how believers, as followers within the body of Christ, should lead. And at a time where we are seeking to gather a lot of hands to be on deck to grow our church, the Lord just laid it upon my heart to share this from this passage of Romans chapter 12, which discusses the life of the believers. So I will share with us on the uniqueness of Christian service, the uniqueness of Christian service. The book of Romans is a very interesting passage. Maybe it could be even considered as one of the most important, epistles in the Bible. And Paul himself in the book of Romans has written a very strong epistle that touches on every doctrine of the church. And today, in this passage of Romans chapter 12, we see Paul transitioning from talking about highly doctrinal theological issues to beginning to apply in these issues. And so when you look at the first verse, the first word in chapter 12 of Romans, he begins with the word, therefore. Therefore. And like it's always said, anywhere you see that word, therefore, it is there for a reason. It is not only there to be there, but it's making reference to something. So it's necessary that you look back to see what has Paul been saying. But in this case, when Paul said, therefore, he was not only talking about the previous chapter. He was talking about all of the chapters in Romans, in the book of Romans that he has been talking about. So when he says, therefore, he is bringing back to mind some of the things he has said as doctrines that the church in Rome should think about. And now he is beginning to apply these things to the lives of the believers and making the believers think about these things and how they should apply these things and make these things practical in their lives. So I will share with us the uniqueness of Christian service found in the body of Christ in 5 points. And I'll take a long time, maybe 6 hours. So Paul had laid some of this foundation and he begins to talk about this. It is instructive that we should find out that every doctrine that is written in Scripture is not there just for intellectual purposes. It is there to be applied. All of the theological discussions that people have had about the Trinity, one of the very difficult doctrines, right? About the doctrine of the nature of Jesus Christ, all of these things comes down to the basics of life and the basics of life within a local church, like we would say. So because Paul wrote this book to a church, it is not strange to see him use congregational languages and congregational practices that we can see in the Old Testament to talk about this passage. And one of the sweetest discoveries that I found while studying for this sermon was that in the past, we used to think that Romans chapter 12, especially verse 1 and 2, were talking to an individual. But really, and in fact, if you look at your Bible, you will see that verse 1 and verse 2 have been separated, right? Which is actually erroneous. Because the discussion there was to a local church, was to a body of believers. And just look at what he says. And I will show you 2 key ways that Paul discusses this and connects it to the local church. I appeal to you there, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. To present your bodies. First, he calls on the believers to present their bodies. But look at what he does there. He does not say, present your bodies as living sacrifices. No. What does he say? As a living sacrifice. He uses a plural body as a sacrifice. How can we have so many bodies being one sacrifice? This is just to show us that Paul, when he was talking here, he used a particular language that connected to Levitical practices in the Old Testament. When he talked about the whole body coming together, becoming a sacrifice that pleases the Lord. So he was not talking to an individual, he was talking rather to the whole body of Christ, to unite together to be one sacrifice, implying congregational holiness. that each one of us is not only responsible for our holiness, we are all responsible for each other's holiness. That the Lord has called us to live a holy life, that we are all a collection of bodies living together, a life that pleases the Lord. And see what he does there. He does not, when he says, offer your bodies, he doesn't say offer your flesh. In other parts of scripture, another word, flesh, is used for body. But in this particular place, Paul calls it body, implying the totality of the body. He was not talking about flesh when Jesus said that his flesh was turned for us. But Paul is implying the whole embodiment of the person. It refers to the individual person as a unified embodied being, implying their emotions, their intellect, their strength, everything about them. This view of the person is not only useful for the point that Paul was making for us to be sacrifices, but it's even useful for the point that he will make for us being the same body. And we will see that. So he says, do that. And this worship, he refers, this sacrifice, is our reasonable worship. That is the second way we know that Paul was not talking to an individual. He was talking to the whole church. Reasonable worship. And when he says, this is your act of reasonable worship, of spiritual worship, you may have it in other passages. And the word that he uses there as spiritual worship is not just it's not just a holy life, but it's a congregational meeting. It's people coming together, being together, doing practices that make them acceptable by the Lord. And this is very strong, because as we move forward, you would see what Paul is saying there. He's calling each believer to be a strong component of the holiness of the church. In Romans chapter 6, verse 13, Paul says, do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. And do you know what? If you look at other versions, the word bodies that it uses there, he calls it members. He calls it members. But what is the point there? The point is that each member of the body is supposed to present themselves as holy. That is service. So the first point is service is worship. Service is worship. That each day of our lives, each morning, serves as an altar. That when we step out of our beds, we live our lives, we take our steps, we use our hands, use our eyes, use our ears, every part of our body, we use that to worship, to serve. But you see, that is not the problem. The problem is not that we don't know that. The problem is that many of us, when we come to serve and we walk to the altar with the desire to be this pleasing sacrifice and haven't considered the demands of the altar, and we look at the altar, and we run away from the altar. Say, this altar, holy, pleasing, acceptable, I can't do this. And we turn and we run away. But Rick Warren says this: true Christian service and living must begin with a personal dedication to the Lord. The Christian who fails in life is the one who has first failed at the altar. refusing to surrender completely to Christ. Everything that we do, if not surrender to Christ, will never lead to true service. John Calvin, he says, we must cease to live to ourselves in order that we may devote all the actions of our life to his service. For it is an indignity to God's holiness that anything not first consecrated should be offered to him. Service is humility. Service is humility. In verse 3, he says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. So he begins to transition here from making references to the whole congregation to begin to talk about parts of the congregation, individuals within the congregation. So our attitude in service plays a huge role in the product of our service. Unlike most of us parents, just see what Paul does there, really sweet stuff. You know, parents, we would say, hey, don't do this. You know, I have a four-year-old that has a mind of him, you know, of his own. He knows everything, and he's not a teenager, come on. And but he knows everything, you know. When, the moment you say don't, he wants to do, right? But I figured that there is a problem with the way I say don't, because I don't give him an alternative. I would say don't do this, and I would not tell him, instead, do this. And we all parents make that mistake. But Paul is a good parent, even though he wasn't a parent. He says to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to be, but to think with sober judgment. With sober judgment. He uses a negative and a positive, not, but. It's a strong tool that Paul loves to use. He gives alternatives. So he says, everyone amongst us should not, and then should. So unlike most of us, who tell our kids not to do something and not tell them what to do, Paul spoke to everyone among us and balances the instruction on how not to think with how to think. With this instruction, we can notice a particular pattern in what Paul was saying. And I'll show you. He talks about we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices, because it is reasonable worship. And he says, our minds should be transformed. And in verse 3 alone, he talks about thinking three times. In just three verses, he talks about the mind five times. Meaning what we think about ourselves play a huge role in how we serve God within the body of Christ. And how should we not think? He says, we should not think more highly of ourselves. We should not have a blotted view of ourselves. We should not feel like we are more important than really we are. But guess what? We shouldn't think that we are less important than really we are. Because when he balances that, he says, we should have sober judgment of who we are. So I don't know why Paul starts by talking about the temptation of thinking more highly of ourselves. But in solving that problem, he talks about us balancing, thinking reasonably, because that's what he says about soberness. We should have a reasonable judgment of who we are. And a sober evaluation means having a modest, humble, measured opinion about ourselves, which is void of pomposity, self-flattery, bloatedness, and boastfulness. It means to have a sound judgment of who we are. If all servants would situate ourselves within undeserved grace, we would clothe ourselves with humility. We will be humble when we recognize that there is nothing we are or nothing we have that has not been given to us. Everything. But even with that, if all servants would situate themselves within God's mercy, seeing that everything we do is important before the Lord, we will serve well. Because you know what? Many of us also think, oh, I'm just this. I'm just cleaning the floors. Or I'm just praying. Or I just set up the couches or the benches or the seats. Oh, nobody knows me. I am nothing. I'm not like Brandon that we see every day that has this very cool voice. So Paul was addressing both pride and unhealthy humility. If each of us should not think of ourselves more highly than the other, what does it mean? We should think according to the measure of faith that God has given us. Does that mean that those that have the more prominent roles should think more highly of themselves than others? No. As a matter of fact, people that have a higher measure of faith are called to a higher measure of restraint. Because people that have been called and given the higher measure of faith are more tempted and more likely to have a more blotted view of themselves. Service is oneness. In verse 4, Paul begins by saying, "For as in one body, we have many parts, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Can you just see one? Bodies, sacrifice. One body, one. So, we are in an era of identity, right? Identity. Everything identity. Identity this, identity that. And Paul presents an idea here that gives each of us an identity. In fact, in my view, this is the only time that unity in diversity is a perfect match. That each of us is different, but we belong to each other. We are one in Christ. The Lord has blessed us with different abilities, but with the same purpose. And just look at what Paul does there. "For us in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one in Christ and individually members one of another." And I'll show you what he's doing there. So, I woke up yesterday, actually 2 days ago, and I had a headache. I had a headache. When I woke up, did I tell my wife that, hey, I have a headache, I can't go out today? Oh, no, I have a headache. What I'm going to do is I will pretend I don't have a head, and I'll go use my hands, and I'll use my feet, and I'll do everything else, and I would just allow the head to heal. Does that ever happen? It doesn't. When I had a cut on my finger some time ago, I didn't go, oh, you know, I had a cut in my finger, but I'm fine. It's just a finger. I would just drop it somewhere, or I would just pretend it's not there, and I'll live my life. No. When my finger hurts, what hurts? I hurt. When my head aches, I ache. Everything about me aches. In fact, I couldn't work all through the day. I came back home and I was asleep. I couldn't come for Grace's marriage yesterday. Why? Because the Lord has made my body to function as one. Remember what we talked about in verse 1? He says, the whole body. He talks about the whole body. So that, to make an application, all of us belong to each other. And how do we belong to each other? He says it there, in Christ. In Christ. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord has brought us in. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says that we have been brought into the building that the Lord is the foundation. The Lord Jesus, after being the foundation, he puts us in the walls, interlocked with one another. So that a church that is not one is a church that is not in Christ. Each of us. So if you ever are here and you think that you are alone, you don't belong, you belong here. And you know, that's the sweetest thing about fellowship. You know, this church is the first church that our kids made friends. That is one of the biggest reasons why we stayed here. It's the first church that would ask you, how are you doing? Where are you coming from? They don't ask you just what's your name and you're welcome to the U.S. They want to know you. They want you to belong, to feel like this is home. Fellowship, we are doing this. And that is what everybody is looking for, right? And that is what we should all strive for. Because see what Paul says, in Christ, and then he goes on to say, members, one of. One of. That is possession. Possession. We belong to each other. I belong to you. You belong to me. Amen. You know, a funny story is told of the body parts that met, and they had a meeting, and they were talking which one was more important and all of that, and everybody was laying down their credentials and everything, the brain, the hands, the eyes, the ears, everyone. And there was a brother that does things that I would rather not say. He wanted to speak, and everybody told him, hey, you can speak. You do despicable things. And he was quiet. And when it was time, he stayed quiet. But you know, whenever we shut people down, they stay quiet. It means we have lost a part of ourselves. We have lost a part of ourselves because each of us adds, and we will see how. Service is oneness. And how are we of each other? Because the Lord has blessed us with gifts. And that is what we bring to the table, gifts. That when each of us is using the gift that the Lord has blessed us with, we all work to grow one another. For by one Spirit, oneness, We were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one another. It is significant that in each of the four main biblical references to spiritual gifts, it specifies that every believer has a spiritual gift. Every one of us. And what are we to do with them? We are to contribute to the maturity of each other. Again, last semester, I wrote an assignment to study Fellowship Church. And one of the things that came out top, service, missionality. We are present for the Lord in everything that we do. And that is what we should keep doing. And when Paul wrote, he describes how each of us should be. Just see what he says. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of the same. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Each of us has gifts, but how do we know that we have gifts? By using them. And that's the last point, integrity. Service and integrity. Service and integrity. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. And the one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. How do we serve? By serving. And the Lord has stated here how we should serve. And I will just use this time to just encourage you. Many of us are serving. I mean, just look at this. How can a church raise 106 volunteers in 2 weeks? If not people that love to serve. Keep doing. Where are you serving? Do you feel discouraged? Maybe nobody notices you. Keep serving. And do you know what? When we will get a lead pastor here, he would need every hand, every eye, every ear, every eye, everything he needs. Because the whole work of building the church is church-wide. It is church-wide. So keep serving. Keep serving. Keep being faithful. Keep teaching. Keep giving. Keep leading. Because you know what? When you are not there, we are handicapped. If you step out, this church will be deficient. I will challenge us with these words. We are a community church that loves to connect with one another. During the hangout after service today, could you make a beeline and look at this person that has been serving in this church and just tell him, I see you. So as we hang around after service today, be very deliberate. Walk to this person and tell him, I see what you do every Sunday. Thank you. If you can say a prayer with them. If you miss any of such people after service today, when you get back home after lunch, send them an SMS. Send them a text message. Tell them, we see what you do. Thank you for your service. Tell them, is there an area of ministry you wish to contribute to, but do not find here? Like, oh, I'm so good in this, but it's not here. Can you talk to the elders? I want to start something like this. I want us to grow this kind of ministry here. approach the elders and give suggestions. Have you been absent in serving in the church and you feel the Lord is speaking to your heart right now? Can you decide to ask questions? Hey, how can I do this? How can I serve in this area? Have you been serving and you are here in this church and sometimes it feels a bit tired because of how much work there is? When you go home, can you just write a prayer on a paper to just thank God for the privilege of service? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we bring our hearts unto you once again and bring our bodies. We are a body of believers. We pray that as we move in this journey of holiness, that you will encourage our hearts. As we give ourselves to service, may your Spirit continue to spur us. And I pray that, Lord, you will use us in each other's lives to help one another to grow in our service to you and to the church. In Jesus' name. Amen.